We're looking this morning at the ministry of the pastor. I was giving for each one of these a biblical example, and I thought, well, Timothy and Titus were both pastors, but who would be the most prominent pastor in the Bible? And I had to pick Jesus, the shepherd of our souls. Scripture says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us has a measure of Christ's gift. We're not in this alone. Ministry is not wrapped up in one person, but it's a collective. It's a group of people who have been spiritually gifted by the Lord to build his church. It's interesting, this morning in Sunday school, we studied about a lady who was actually referred to as a church in 2 John. We have been given gifts to use together within the church. So it's not just one, two, or three gifted people in any given church. It's the body of Christ, each individual, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. The first part of that verse deals with those who died in faith in the Old Testament times, went to a place called Abraham's bosom, according to Luke chapter 16, and were redeemed and led forth by Christ at his resurrection. But then he gave gifts to the church, ascension gifts that each one of us has received. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. He gave you as a gift to this church. The problem that we have is so many people think they're not important. They think, well, God can use the pastor, or God will use the pastor. And I should bring people to church, and the pastor will get them saved, and the pastor will help them become a part of the body, and the pastor will teach them. But the Lord has given each one of us a gift to be used in his body, in his church. And so we see that apostles love the church. And you know, there are some among you that say, let's build up this church. Let's make Petersburg Baptist Church great again. Yeah, that works, doesn't it? It's political, but it's also something we can do here at the church. And apostles have that love for the church and that desire to see people become a part of the church. Prophets love God. We dealt a little bit with that in Sunday school this morning, with the emphasis that John had. Remember, John was the disciple of love. But in 2 John, the little one chapter book letter in the New Testament, he's dealing with the importance of truth. And that a lot of times is the ministry of the prophet, who loves God and wants the truth of God in the hearts of the people in the church. And so the prophet defends the truth in the church. The evangelist loves the unbeliever. They're always looking to build bridges between the church and the community. People who say we need to have a way for people to come from down the street into the church, come to know Jesus as their Savior. Vacation Bible School is of particular importance because it's a way that children can come to know Jesus as their Savior. Also, Pioneer Kids as a route into the church, but also going out in other ways and reaching the community, reaching their neighbors with the gospel. I had the privilege this week of having my dad's graveside service. One of the ladies came up and said, "I'm with the Lord today because of your dad." Dad had a heart for evangelism. They love unbelievers and reach out to them. We need more evangelists in the church today. Pastors love believers. And we have pastors teaching Sunday school classes and leading the church today. Teachers love books, and especially the Bible. That great example of a pastor is Jesus himself. And we certainly need him in the church today as our shepherd, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's provision. He provides for us as our shepherd. We pray, and he instructed us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He provides for our needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep need peace. They won't eat, they won't drink, they won't go down to a rushing stream. The shepherd has to go down and hollow out a little place for them to drink, where they can feel safe. They need to be led to green pastures, or they won't eat. They need to feel the safety of the presence of the shepherd in their midst. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and I experience the peace that Jesus provides. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's salvation. When we're saved, when we're born again, our soul is restored. We have new life in Christ. But I had to come up with a piece, so I put paradise. We look forward to heaven because of our relationship with that good shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh, we know in this life the protection of the shepherd as we walk with him. And we see in the conclusion, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So the Lord is our shepherd, and Jesus is our good shepherd. These verses come from John chapter 10. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Verse 9, he said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Literally, the shepherd was the door of the sheep pen. They would bring the sheep into the fold, and then they would lay in the opening. They were the door. Anyone coming in and out would have to go through them. Jesus said, "I am the door." In verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In fact, he did give his life that we have life in him. He said in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. and I know my own, and my own know me. He said in verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, where we know him. I mean, we really know him. We hear his voice. He guides us through this life and on into the next. He is our shepherd. So what does that look like when it comes down to our level? What does the pastor experience? The pastor is the sole healer in the kingdom. Your contribution to the ministry of God is to create an atmosphere for family and belonging. You bring fun and enjoyment to God's ministry and allow people to feel like they're part of a greater family. You are also instrumental in guiding people through brokenness back to wholeness and healing their soul from wounds that keep them where they are. You have a unique gifting that is essential to God's ministry. I always love the picture of the shepherdess we have right through the door. Some of you may even be able to see her. Shepherdess, because that's our Sunday school area. And while it's okay for men to teach Sunday school, through the years I've been blessed by so many women who taught my Sunday school classes, gave me that foundation of Christianity. In fact, were instrumental in my coming to know Jesus as my Savior. People who were shepherds in my life. Good pastors in the pulpit, but that personal touch in each one of those Sunday school classes was so important to me. Shepherdesses. The pastor has a good grasp on reality. You are capable of helping others make better choices for themselves. As I was reading down through this, I thought of a lot of people. I thought of Craig. He's not here, so I can mention him this morning. Helping people make good decisions. But so many of us in our families and with our friends, we need that counsel. Many times we need people to come alongside as a pastor to help us through difficult situations. As a pastor, you are concerned for people's hearts and emotions. You feel people's pain when they hurt. You see the answers to relational dysfunction. You embrace people and make them feel like they are welcome and included. We talked a little bit about that. Alice isn't here with us, so we can talk about Alice. But I'm sure many of you were the beneficiaries of Alice's hugs on Sunday mornings. And her, I'm so glad to see you here this morning. You know, for a lot of us, that's why a lot of us have come to the church and become a part of the church. We need more people like that who welcome and embrace those who come to visit the church. You're exceptional at having fun and enjoying life. Shouldn't that be a part of our Christianity? One of the topics that I have to deal with this summer is, why aren't Christians more joyful? You know, why do we sing in the choir these joyful songs and everybody has a sour look on their face? We need more joy. So we need people who are exceptional at having fun and enjoying life. Not because we're happy all the time, but because we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives. You are an exceptional listener. You know, there are some people who just love to jump in and give their opinion. You know, the shepherd listens to what people have to say and really is interested. You have a soft and tender heart for those who are hurting. The church needs you as a pastor if you have that gift or have those qualities. What happens without the pastor? People remain stuck in their pain and brokenness. The pastor can come alongside and help people, lead people out of that area of their lives. People are left out, left behind, and forgotten. People don't know where to turn. People are held down and not lifted up. What is the vision of the pastor? That every person can feel a part of the family of God. Every person can feel like they belong and are included. Every person can be able to overcome brokenness and become whole. Wouldn't it be nice to have a whole church filled with people that have a good measure of those abilities? Someone in Sunday school mentioned this morning that they knew people who would never come back to church because they'd be afraid of being judged. That would be so true if the church was filled with prophets. But pastors are more likely to embrace and love people up in the Lord. As you dream, pray and plan, ask yourself these questions. How do we best accomplish making every person feel like they are a part of the family of God? How do we best give people the gift of fun, inclusion, and belonging? And how do we best help people to journey back from brokenness and reach wholeness? These are the things that we as pastors, and I'll include myself in that group, can do to draw people into the church, to care about people, to love people. Jesus made the greatest of sacrifices when he died on the cross for our sin. We too can sacrifice as his children, as we love each other and pastor each other into the church. We're not talking about evangelism, but we're talking about that great commandment when Jesus said we're to love each other as he loved us. What an attractive church will be when we love each other as Jesus loves us. As we sacrifice our time, our effort, and even our finances in sharing his love with each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need this gift in the church. We need that welcoming, loving spirit. Help us, Lord, to truly love each other in you. Help us to desire to be among your people, to experience collective joy, to love being together more than we, especially if we're introverts, love being alone. And help us, Father, to see the benefits of pastoring and discipling your body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.